Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 90. Okay, Psalm 90. This starts book 4. Psalms is divided into 5 different books, so we're now into the next book. So book 4, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou dost turn back dust, into dust, and dost say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. Thou hast swept them away like a flood, they fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we have been dismayed. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy presence. For all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. For the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet our pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of thine anger, and thy fury according to the fear that is due thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servants? O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants, and thy majesty to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. And do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Amen. So book 4 is the prayer of Moses, the song of Moses. Moses only did one psalm, and this is it. But we can see in other writings, like in Deuteronomy and other places, that actually Moses wrote songs. And so, but only one happens to be in the book of Psalm, or the book of songs, you can say. And so this is Moses' prayer. Most likely, this occurred after Numbers chapter 20. And so if you look at Numbers 20, it's important you recognize the timing. If you look at Numbers 20, it's probably Moses' most difficult part of his life. Miriam dies, so his sister dies there, and then the Israelites complain about water, and then remember Moses strikes the rock twice, and he basically, Moses strikes the rock twice, but he also claims, he says, shall we bring water out? And so God's anger is placed upon Moses that now he does not take people into the promised land. And then on top of that, they're going through an area of Kadesh, and the king won't let them pass. So they have a more arduous route to take. And then Aaron dies. And so, talk about this is a tough chapter. For Moses. And so most likely Moses is writing this as a reflection. And really the theme of Psalm 90 is number your days. He's probably in that place of reflection upon Miriam and then Aaron, but also himself. And he's just telling us, be wise with the days that we have. The key is verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. And really, the word present is maybe better translated so we may gain. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so let's start. And so he starts off in the beginning, O Lord. So he uses the sovereign name of God, Adonai. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Probably that word is probably better translated as refuge. And that would relate more in tune with his other songs where he used the same word. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world, and even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so he has been their dwelling place. He has been their refuge. And you can imagine, as I talked about on Sunday a bit, these guys were pitching tent, setting up, tearing down, setting up, tearing down. They really didn't have a dwelling. For 40 years, they really didn't have a place to call home. And so they're just wandering in the wilderness. And Moses very keenly recognizes, Lord, you are a dwelling place. And this is the reality for all of us that follow the Lord. You will always have a home in God. You will not ever be homeless. It's interesting that this theme actually is carried out even to the New Testament. Remember Jesus? Jesus says, you know, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to my Father's house. And there's dwellings in that house. And I prepare a room, a place for you in my Father's house. And so we see that this theme continue on, that we, as followers of Christ, we will always have a dwelling place. We will always have a place to live. And it's not in a home that's built by wood and brick, but really it's in the Father's house. It's a spiritual home. There's a dwelling. And in fact, this dwelling is not just a home, it's a refuge. It's another translation they use is it's a hiding place. And isn't it true? Whatever we're going through in our life, we always have a home in God's heart. There's always a hiding place. We will never, ever, as followers of Jesus, be homeless. And you can imagine that Moses is, maybe he woke up that morning, you know, after Aaron dies, and Numbers 20 says he came down from the mountain with just his son Eleazar, and because, you know, remember he put the priestly garment on Eleazar, they came down, and, you know, as he was coming down the mountains, he's probably reflecting on that, and he says, even before the mountains were born, Lord, you gave birth to the earth, and he's just making this reflection that even though man and you know, all of us, there's no permanence there, there is the permanence of God displayed in nature. Verse 3, thou dost turn man back into dust. Reflection there. You say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight, or like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood, they fall asleep. In the morning, they're like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and it sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. This is very similar in the line that was used, you know, from dust we came, from dust we will return. It's the same kind of idea. And he's talking about the time that God gives to us and how precious it is for every one of us. And then 7, as it continues on, we have been consumed by your anger and by thy wrath we've been dismayed. And probably referring to another part of chapter 20, which is when he struck the rock twice. And so he recognizes that he's in that place of rebuke. If I'm honest, I have sometimes a really difficult time understanding Numbers 20, if I'm really honest. Moses, out of all these things that he did, how he led and just endured for 40 years, and then he does one act, and that one act disqualifies him from entering the promised land. I've read enough to understand the context. Some scholars say that it was the striking the rock was a prophetic sign, right? And so in essence, you know, he strikes the rock twice, which is not allowed in essence, because, you know, the Savior was just struck once. And so there, I mean, there's a lot of hypotheses and these things that are laid out. And I could understand on certain levels, you know, but I would say in my heart, I just, in my heart, I feel like, wow, that's a bit tough. You know, that's a tough sentence. But what helps me to, even though I don't understand, what gives me peace is that Moses doesn't seem too upset about it. Moses seems to think, God, you're right. I deserve this. And so Moses is not bent out of shape about it, even though we may be bent out of shape about it. It's kind of like in the New Testament, you know, the story of the Syrophoenician woman. And remember, she asked Jesus for healing. And Jesus responds and says, you know, I'm here for the house of Israel. And remember, and she says, it says, I don't throw basically to dogs. And she says, even dogs eat the crumbs off the table. And then, you know, a lot of us, we get really upset. It's like, how can you call her a dog, Jesus? But yet the woman is not offended at all, you know. And in fact, if you actually break it down in Greek, you know, there's a couple different words, you know, kuon, which is dog, but he's using the other word, kunarion, which means puppy. And into a Syrophoenician woman, because, you know, Jews did not keep pets, but Gentiles did. And so, and these were, you know, like terms of endearment, really. And so the words that Jesus is using was very different than what we think it is. And so all to say that sometimes when we don't understand certain things, you know, we have to look at the response of the hearers. And obviously the Syrophoenician woman was not offended. In that same way, Moses is not offended. And in fact, when we read this from 7 forward, it's talking about, you know, God's anger, God's wrath, God's fury. There is no mention of why. There is no mention of this injustice of it. For Moses, this was righteous. Moses, in his way, is saying, I kind of deserve this. There's no, you know, there's no complaining on his part. And by the way, as I mentioned the last few Psalms, whenever God's wrath and these things are mentioned, you notice that no one is questioning his wrath. No one is questioning whether it's suitable. They all believe it is. They all recognize, oh, we deserve this. And what they're doing is they're crying out for mercy. They're asking, Lord, how long? Instead of, why are you doing this? Or this is unnecessary. Right? The simple plea is, how long? And it's in the same way that's operated here. It's for, in verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Obviously, if you read the account of Moses lived for 120 years. And so, but 70 was considered the age of man. And so men lived, the average life cycle, man lived, well, they would say a man's full life is 70 years. So if you live 70, you're doing pretty good. And then he adds on, but 80, right, the next verse, or if due to strength, 80 years. And so like, man, if you lived 80 years, that was something else. But again, he's talking about these numbering of our days. Yet our pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and thy fury according to the fear that is due? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? Again, that's a main question. God's judgment, God's wrath, God's fury. The question's always, Lord, how long? How long is this going to last? Not why is this happening? And so maybe we should change our tune when we're going through seasons of difficulty. Instead of asking the why, maybe we should just say, Lord, how long? Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servants. Satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness. Now this is the covenant love of God, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants, and thy majesty to their children, and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. and do confirm. The word confirm is probably better as permanence, right? And let, you know, and let it be permanent, the work of our hands. And yes, the permanence of the work of our hands. In other words, Moses is probably reflecting, and you know, he knows he's going to die soon, and he's asking God, Lord, let my labor, let it last. Let the things that I've done, let it last. And that's the blessing of God, right? Well, I mean, I think the word that we use these days is called legacy. In other words, saying, let there be a legacy. Let there be a legacy of leadership. Let it pass upon our kids. This really is the gift of God in our short life that we have, that we can really offer ourselves, offer our work before the Lord, and that there would be joy and singing. And even though that there will be days of evil, there will be seasons of difficulty, that there would still be joy in the midst of those things. And obviously, that only comes from the presence of the Lord. So, Lord, let that be our prayer today. Lord, teach us to number our days. We're not going to live forever. We're, you know, I mean, who knows what tomorrow brings? The New Testament tells us that our life is but a vapor. It comes and goes so quickly. And, you know, God's view of time is different than our view of time. And so with the time that God has given to us, let's live wise lives. Let's live and let's do things that matter. Let's invest our time in worthwhile causes. At the end of the day, a lot of stuff that we do just won't matter. And so let's not teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may bring or may gain a heart of wisdom. So let's close our eyes. Life is short. I mean, we've lived a long life, but life is short. Who knows what tomorrow brings? The way to really understand this psalm is actually to go back and read Numbers 20. Maybe in a month, Moses will sing a different song, but he's in grief. He's in pain. But still, truth comes out. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to be wise with the days that you've given to us. Teach us to use our days in a way that pleases you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's use it to worship and glorify Him. Let's use it to love others. Let's use it to bring the kingdom of light in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Well, let's commit this day to the Lord.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in my cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns.
This morning, and let's make a commitment to live a life, to live, just let's just say one day, to live this day worthy of Him, that we would number our days, would count our days, and today we would live a life that's worthy of Him. And let's pray this morning. Best way to start our day is to pray. Let's just commit ourselves to our community. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers. Let's just pray for God's healing word over their life. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to be saved. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's just pray for the Lord to just minister to grace. And let's pray for our frontline medical workers as well. Let's ask for God's strength, God's protection over them. Pray for the nursing shortage in Hong Kong as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for God's hand upon us. Let's continue to lift up the COVID situation in the city. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray that they would make wise decisions. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's continue to lift up, pray for revival throughout the city. Pray for the churches. Pray for our friends ministering here, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, S&D, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Pray that we would serve the Lord with all of our heart. If we could pray for P-Nate. P-Nate and Matt are in Korea visiting their grandfather. And let's just pray for just a great time for them as a family. And let's just lift up. Let's pray for our education department, our SP kids, our SP youth, and SPU. Let's pray that our kids would just continue to draw closer and closer to the Lord. It was great having a family worship again last week, this past Sunday. Let's pray that all our little ones, our youth group, our college students, that they would grow in God's grace. Let's lift up our leaders and our volunteers as well, that God would strengthen them. Let's pray for our worship and sound and AV teams, and let's pray that they would just continue to lead us into the presence of the Lord, that our times of worship would be so pleasing to the Lord and just so ministering to the body. And let's just pray for anointing, pray for strength, pray for God's hand upon the leaders here. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Pray for the babies in the womb. Pray for the mom's health. Pray that the husbands, and if there's any siblings, that they would be so excited to welcome in a new member of their family. And let's just cover them. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, the Blue Pool, Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K-House, OPR, Princeton, and Westside. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts, for the members to come, to come on time and to really celebrate God's goodness. Let's pray that they would grow and connect with each other, connect with God. Pray. Father, thank you this morning. Yeah, truly, God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to be wise in the way that we use our day, that we would gain wisdom, Lord, from you. Father, we just pray, God, that today and every day we would live to serve you and you alone, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, Lord, bring that conviction, God, into our lives, into our hearts, Lord. We thank you. Help us to make this day today, God, a day that pleases you. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.